Well, it's good to be here on Epiphany Sunday to celebrate our patronal festival together. It's a long time since I've preached here at St. Augustine's, so it's a great honour and a privilege to be preaching this morning. Many of you know I'm acting area dean, so at the moment I get invited to many churches across this city to preach and to lead, and it's a great privilege to be able to do that. And in this year I've preached at two patronal festivals across the city. And I get presented with a great saint to talk about and to research, and I explore that saint and I try and apply the life of that saint to the church which I'm visiting. And so I speak about the heroism of faith, and I speak about how they must act with great faith like the saints. So I looked at the patronal festival for Walbrook Epiphany, and it's a bunch of stargazers who arrive late for Christmas. So I thought I'd preach a sermon about people who turn up late for church services, but I thought that's what happens all the time at St. Thomas's, and it happens all the time at St. Augustine's, and nothing will ever change. But what exactly do a bunch of stargazers of magi from the east have to tell us about life in Normanton, in Pear Tree and Rose Hill in 2020? Well, you'll be pleased to know that as I reflected on this familiar story over the last couple of weeks, the finding of the star, the journey to Bethlehem, and the worship of the Christ child, I began to make links with our parish and with our parish vision. And interestingly, as I looked at these three themes, I also saw links with the original meaning of the word epiphany. Now, I don't think I've ever gone back to the dictionary and worked out what the word epiphany means. But I looked through my dictionary and found three meanings of the word epiphany. An epiphany is a eureka moment, a sudden insight or an inspiration. An epiphany is a moment of shared understanding. An epiphany is a revelation from God. So that's your 3 points you're going to hear this morning as we explore each of those three meanings in turn. So the first meaning of the word epiphany, that eureka moment of insight or inspiration. The Magi, they saw a star arising in the east. But for them it wasn't just a star, was it? They had already been searching the heavens for meaning. And for them, the star was a sign. Those of you who know me at St. Thomas Community, you know over the last Christmas period, I spent a lot of time reflecting on signs. That's been one of the things that's been on my mind over the last few weeks. And the star was a sign. As the prophet Isaiah said in the Old Testament reading that Frieda read for us, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you. His glory appears over you." Yes, the rising of the star was the light bulb moment for those stargazers. It was, wow, something is happening, there's a sign. But the sign wasn't the star. The sign was the glory of the Lord is coming. The star pointed to a deeper meaning. I wonder how long the Magi had sat studying their books. I wonder how long the Magi had spent gazing and staring at the night sky. I wonder how long the Magi had yearned for a sense of inspiration. Do we? Do we study our scriptures, our Bible? Do we stand in prayer, seeking after God, gazing after him and seeking his sign? Do we yearn for inspiration? Like the wise men and the women in the Magi, I believe we need to look for signs where God is at work. Signs for, as C.S. Lewis put it in his lovely novel, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, that Aslan is on the move. About this time last year, we began our work on our parish mission action plan. And as part of that process, we explored together and looked together for the signs. So we looked for signs. We looked for signs of where God was at work. And we found five such signs. There are five signs in this parish where we felt in our mission action plan that God was at work. Number one is something that Andy is now calling the reveal community. It's an area of fostering and adoption. It's an area that we've been exploring as a church family for 7, 8, 9 years. But it's an area which Andy himself has had a real sense of call in recent months. And I think it's something of a sign to us as a church, as a parish, that we need to take this whole issue of fostering and adoption and wonder what's happening. The Gathering Place people offer a wonderful welcome to people on the edge of our community. And increasingly over the last year, they have welcomed a much older members of our community. And we've seen a merging of the old lunch club and Gathering Place. And we've seen a greater, deeper sense of spirituality at Gathering Place. I think for me, one of the greatest signs in the last year was that time when we shared communion together at Gathering Place. And we placed bread and wine into the hands of people who don't normally take communion. But for them, it was a deeply moving and spiritual occasion. At St. Thomas Community, we decided to form what we call a religious community, to seek to serve this parish in prayer, mission and hospitality. And in the last year, St. Thomas Community have had a real sense of call to deeper prayer. There's been a real sense of a burden put in our hearts to pray for this parish and pray for the people of this parish. And as we sat together every week for an hour praying together for this parish, God has put in our hearts a desire to do something around housing. It's one of the biggest issues facing Normanton, Pear Tree and Rose Hill. And in our schools work, with our church schools, where we go in as chaplains, where we have governors, where we're involved in our schools, we're beginning to see some breakthroughs. At a recent PCC meeting we held at St. Chad's School, and I know that we had a guest preacher here at St. Augustine's from St. Chad's School, we heard about how God is breaking into the lives of our children, particularly children from broken lives, showing his love and his care. And down here at St. Augustine's, at the St. Augustine's Gussie's congregation, it's becoming increasingly diverse. Over the last year, over the years I've been here nearly 8, 9 years now, we've certainly already had people from the Caribbean, we've had people from Africa, we've had people from Iraq, we love our Iraqi family. But in the last year we've had people here from Lithuania, we've had people join us from Brazil, from Slovakia, from India and Zimbabwe. And the St. Augustine's 10 o'clock congregation is looking increasingly diverse. And what's wonderful is they are taking part and helping lead the services and being part of the ministry here. When we get to heaven, it will be incredibly multicultural and incredibly multicoloured. It won't be that dissimilar to what we see on a Sunday morning here at St. Augustine's. Unlike most of the stained glass windows. For me, these are the signs. These are the signs that we look for. Seeking what God might be saying through them is the next step. We need to explore our scriptures. We need to commit ourselves to prayer. And we need to see where God is taking his vision for this parish forward. I've discovered the message version of the parish vision, and it's burning in my heart. God, the Father of the fatherless, the champion of widows. God makes homes for the homeless and leads prisoners to freedom. Are we looking for that epiphany? Are we looking for that sign of inspiration, of insight? The second meaning of the word epiphany is a moment of shared understanding. A moment of shared understanding. Our friends the Magi didn't stop when they found a star and say, "Oh, that's great, there's a star up there." They went on a journey. And it was a journey of ups and downs. But not just on the camel seat. They wandered through a desert. They lost the star. Ended up in the city of Jerusalem. Ended up in the court of a king. A scheme, murderous scheme. It was quite a journey. And probably one they didn't particularly enjoy at the time. Especially as they tried to work out just exactly what they were doing, exactly where they were going. You can just imagine some of the conversations, can't you? So just why did we take this journey? It was his idea, wasn't it? Are you sure you know where we're going? Just exactly what is it we're doing this for? I'm not sure we're going the right way at all. And we too have been on a journey, haven't we, as a parish? I know many of you have shared those questions. Many of you have vocalised those questions. Some of you just go along for the ride because you come to church on a Sunday and that's what you do. But for others, you've thrown yourself wholeheartedly into it, and now you're wondering, just exactly where is it going? Intriguingly for me, the answer to those questions for the Magi came from a most unusual source. The answer to their questions came from Herod's advisors. The answer to their questions came from the court of King Herod when he said, "Where is this star about?" And they looked in their books and they said, "It's in Bethlehem in Judea." They're given a helping hand by the people you least expect. When they ended up in the wrong place, they give them the right place. And then, as they follow that advice, the star which they saw when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And for me, this has had two important lessons for us to think about as we think about this second moment of epiphany. Like those ancient Magi, we need to look for advice and support from unlikely sources. We need to look for advice and support from people who we think are maybe slightly different to us, but would want to journey alongside us. But at the same time, we need to pray for discernment that we might see the star that we saw in the first place. We don't just go along with what the advisors tell us, because if we went along with what the advisors told us in the case of the Magi, you'd have had a murder on your scene. But you need to have this dual listening. Listening to what your partner organisation, the partners we're working with, what they're saying to us and the advice they're giving to us, and are listening to God and saying, what is God telling us? And as we do this dual listening, we'll begin to see what God is calling us to. And I think that's where we are now on our Mission Action Plan journey. Andy, in the last few years, has been spending a lot of time at the National Association of Therapeutic Parents. Think about the title, right? Andy's been learning a lot about adoption and about fostering from them. But he hasn't just been following blindly their advice. He's also been meeting with other Christians in the city who are fostering and adopting, and you've been praying together as a group, a dual advice and prayer. The Gathering Place team have been working with Derby City Mission. And Derby City Mission in the last year or two have really, really ramped up their emphasis on the eradication of extreme poverty. Anyone who reads anything from Derby City Mission at the moment, that's all that they're talking about. And so the focus for working with Jubilee down at Gathering Place has been focusing on the eradication of poverty. But they've also been focusing on a deeper sense of prayer and praying together and saying, we want to create a spiritual heartbeat and prayerful base in which to meet the spiritual needs of the people who come to Gathering Place. A dual listening. Down at St Thomas Community, we began to explore possibility of a housing project. And we began to talk to a number of housing providers and people who build accommodation for homeless and asylum seekers. We began to explore potential partners that we might work with. At the same time, we spent a long time working through with a group called the Society of the Holy Trinity, a rhythm of life and a spirituality that will insist on us growing together spiritually to underpin that project. A dual listening and advice. In our schools work, we're growing and increasingly working with the Derby Diocese Academy Trust. They're keen to link up schools, churches and community. And they've been talking actively about how they do that. At the same time, we're working with other churches across Normanton and beginning to have a conversation about what we do with children and young people. And we work together with other churches to put on Experience Christmas. And here at St Augustine's, I know many of you mourn the loss of Sarah Watson. Sarah Watson was a superb curate. She had a lot to offer us and seemed to be here for a very short amount of time, but gave us a lot of insight and enthusiasm. But I know Andy is keen now that you forge a link with YWAM, with You for the Mission. And that link with You for the Mission has grown over the last year as we began to build greater links. And that is primarily seen here at St Augustine's in the person of Kayo, who I know we are praying for and supporting him as he grows in his sense of vocation. Why work with You for a Mission? Well, they are an international organisation that prays and prays and prays into international mission. Is that not what we're beginning to see here at 10 o'clock? These are all for me examples of a partnership of listening to advice and prayer. As our Old Testament reading says, lift up your eyes, look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will all look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. I firmly believe that whenever God calls us to his mission, we need to lift up our eyes, look around us, find who we need to walk alongside, and commit ourselves wholeheartedly to prayer. As we say at St Thomas Community, we journey together. We look for an epiphany that is a moment of shared understanding. My final meaning of epiphany that I discovered as I was researching and reflecting and pondering on this sermon for this morning is the one that we most obviously know, which it is a revelation from God. Those Magi finally realised they'd actually found the king they were trying to find when they entered a humble house and saw the Christ child with his mother Mary. It wasn't the stable. They were late. It was probably several months later. And then in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, the riches of the nations come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming and praising the name of the Lord. But then those magi go further than just giving the gifts that they travelled afar with. They bow down and they worship him. They realise this is no ordinary king. We don't hear them are bowing down and worshipping Herod. In Herod they saw a human king who was scheming and plotting. In the Christ child they have a revelation that this is someone bigger. God himself. And how do they know that? How do they know that the child they meet is God himself? The only person who can reveal that to them is God himself. And this is what we need to know about mission. That God himself is active in his mission. So the purpose of our mission here at Warburg Epiphany, as we follow our Psalm 68 vision, is not about seeking to look after fatherless children. It's not about defending the vulnerable at Gathering Place. It's not about building houses for the homeless. It's not about setting children free from bad patterns of behaviour. No, the vision is to point to our God, who has revealed himself as the father to the fatherless. God is the champion of the widows. God is the one who makes homes for homeless. God is the one who leads prisoners to freedom. So over the last year, we need to look at what God has been doing and be grateful and see what he's saying to us through it. So where has God revealed himself in the last year in our mission here at Warburg Epiphany? Well, Andy has always had a heart for the vulnerable children and teenagers. Ever since I've known Andy, and I knew Andy first in the early part of 2011. So that's nearly 9 years, just 9 years or so Andy and I have known each other. He's always had a heart for the vulnerable teenager. That's been one of his heart. But when he starts to think about possibilities of fostering and fostering, what that might mean and what that's all about, he finds that God is already at work shaping the spiritual journey of the people he's meeting. That God's already at work in the hearts. And it's not Andy who's going to come and do the God bit and bring Jesus in, because God's already there. He's already doing the work in the hearts already. He's already stirring. Because God has been revealed as Father to the fatherless, not Andy. And down at the Gathering Place, when the team meets at the back of church, and it's greater than now at the back of church, and people come in the doors and they come and get their advice and have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee, it's the guests. It's the guests who have already started opening their Bible. It's the guests who are already exploring what the scriptures have to say. And it's the guests who ask the question, what does this passage mean? It's not the Gathering Place team who preach there each week, this is what you should believe. It's God who's stirring in the hearts of those people who are coming. And they're saying, tell us more. Help us understand what this is about. Because God is already active. Because God is the champion of the widow and the vulnerable. Not our team. God is already working there. And when St. Thomas's community were praying for guidance of whether or not to take on this housing project and whether it was too big for us and whether we could do it or not, one of the leading experts in the city, who is a Christian gentleman who knows more than anyone I know about housing, who currently has not got a job, and was praying in his heart, what do I do next, gets a revelation from God to call Simon Cartwright. And he comes to me and we are agreed that we're going to work together. Because God has already put his people in place. God is already at work building homes for homeless. He just wants his people to work with him. God is already active. And when two local state-run community-based schools look to try and improve their values and how they can impact this multicultural neighbourhood, secular head teachers go to the Derby Diocese Academy Trust and say, we want to work with you. And they say, go and work with the church at Walbrook Epiphany. And so schools that have been closed for years, that we've never had a breakthrough in, God is working at and is opening the doors. Now, is that because we are great evangelists to children? Or is it because God himself is opening the way for us to meet the needs of the vulnerable and the broken in this community? And over the last 9 years that I've stood here and wept with you here at St. Augustine's, I've seen and I've wept with you as wonderful members of our congregation have passed away. And I've lost so many good friends. And I mean friends. And yet, we are still growing. And God is bringing new people to worship with us. New people joining us, taking their places. And they are people of different colours and nations. Because this is going to be the witness of this congregation to this parish. It's going to change because the parish is changing. And so 10 o'clock will change. God is revealed in that passage in Isaiah as drawing people to his light. God is drawing people to his light. On Christmas Eve at St. Thomas's, when we opened the doors and had a meal together, two people were drawn to our light and walked in the door and said, can we come and worship with you? God draws people to himself. We are learning that Epiphany is a revelation from God. So as we enter 2020, let's pray for more Epiphany. We pray for moments of insight and inspiration. Just as those magi saw a star, we look for signs where God is at work. And remember those five parts of our mission action plan that we're focusing on. The work on fostering and adoption, the work in gathering places of the marginalised, the St. Thomas's community and its commitment to prayer, mission and hospitality, our work with the schools, and the changing and evolving work here at Gus's on a Sunday morning. We look for moments of shared understanding, and we look to journey together with different groups, and we learn to pray together for that dual listening to other Christians in the city involved in fostering adoption, to Derby City Mission, to Youth for the Mission, to the Society of the Holy Trinity, to church schools and other churches in this area. And finally, we look for moments of revelation where God himself is already revealing himself, just as he revealed himself in the face of the Christ child to the Magi. God is already at work revealing himself in this parish. We just need to join in his mission. Father to the fatherless, champion of widows, making homes for the homeless, and leading prisoners to freedom. Let's join in. Amen.